You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation, and welcome to Locked On Saints, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson ASC on Twitter, your host, covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, like nobody else does it every single Monday through Friday. Lead analyst over at AllSaintsConsidered.com. Welcome into all of our first-time listeners, as well as to all of those of you who have been supporting me from the jump. Houdat family, and welcome into yet another Victory Monday here at Locked On Saints. Yes, the sweet, sweet sensation of Victory Monday has returned to the Locked On Saints podcast for another week. Y'all, there is a lot to talk about after this 36-25 Saints win in Chicago. Score makes it look a lot closer than it actually was. Teddy is now 5-0 as a starter without Drew Brees. Brees might be active as early as next week as the Saints return home to face Arizona. Sean Payton is your coach of the year, and there's really not anyone close to him anymore, in my opinion. And this defense in New Orleans is spectacular, but this is the advantage that we have here, being here Monday through Friday with y'all every single day. We get to catch everything. So where do we begin today? Let's start off with three main things. We'll recap the game as usual, but I'm going to highlight some of what Coach Payton achieved throughout this game. Then we'll talk about Latavius Murray. Was yesterday's performance enough for him to earn a larger share of snaps with Alvin Kamara? We'll discuss that. Then we'll close out with the Saints defense. We'll do that as we usually do, but we'll do it a little bit differently. Instead, this time around, I'm going to give you my list of Saints defensive Pro Bowlers so far this season. Yes, you heard me right. The Saints have Pro Bowlers on their defense. We got all that and a little bit of lanyard for you on today's episode, this Victory Monday episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. No Brees, no Kamara, no Cook, no Smith, no problem. No problem at all for the Saints, who put on a dominating performance in Chicago. Final score 36-25, a lot closer than it actually was. The Saints gave up two late touchdowns as well as a two-point conversion very late in the game within the last 4 minutes. The Saints have actually been outscored over the course of the season 42-6 over the last 4 minutes of their games. But altogether, the Saints absolutely dominated this game, at least for the first three quarters on the defensive side, where the Saints only allowed 90 total net yards to the Bears. They allowed 162 in the fourth quarter, 132 of those coming on the last two drives. But the Saints defense, again, still very, very effective. Only 252 total yards allowed to the Bears, while the Saints offense themselves put up 424. The Saints allowed 17 rushing yards. 17 rushing yards in this game. Now, we knew already that the Bears were one of the bottom of the barrel teams when it came to running offense, but wow, 17 rushing yards allowed. Meanwhile, the Saints put up 151 against the Bears defense on the ground. They added 273 through the air. They did incredible. I mean, look, this is so what I want to highlight about this game is the way that Sean Payton was able to win this game without so many weapons. No Cook, no Kamara, no Brees, no Traquan Smith. We talked about it immediately as we entered the segment here, but that's nothing to just kind of shake a stick at and say, okay, well, you just re-game plan around. The big thing for me when it came to Coach Payton being the coach of the year was that the only coach that I thought that might actually rival him here might actually be Ron Rivera over in Carolina. Let's face it. Look, the Panthers go 0-2 with their starting quarterback, Cam Newton. Cam Newton goes out. Kyle Allen comes in, and all of a sudden they rip off 4-0 after Cam Newton goes out and Kyle Allen comes in. And so they basically did the exact same thing that Coach Payton and the Saints had done. But the Saints are doing it with Teddy Bridgewater, who's a little bit more of an established, or actually, I would say massively more established quarterback than Kyle Allen is. And so when you consider that, you kind of had to give both of those guys some respect in terms of that conversation. But what Coach Payton did this week, traveling to Chicago, not having all of those playmakers, not just his starting Hall of Fame quarterback, all of his playmakers there, no Cook, no Kamara, Traquan Smith, it was all Michael Thomas, who had an outstanding game this game, and Teddy Bridgewater, who found ways to get the ball in other playmakers' hands, and of course, who we'll talk about in the next segment, Latavius Murray, who had 119 yards on the ground, 31 receiving and two touchdowns. He was outstanding throughout this game. Sean Payton is an absolute mastermind. There's no other word for it. The dude called a fullback option to Zach Line, who then pitched it back to third-string quarterback Taysom Hill for a huge gain late in the game. Just absolutely outstanding types of play calls. The screen to Taysom Hill on the outside to punch it in the red zone. Just outstanding confidence in your team. Do you understand the type of confidence you have to have in your team to call a fullback option to your third-string quarterback? That's just ridiculous. And when you have that kind of confidence in your team, that inspires that kind of confidence from your team to execute, to go out there and do that. That enhances the players. We talked about all of the things that we might see from Sean Payton in this game in terms of game planning away from Khalil Mack, as well as coming up with some of those tricky play calls. There it was, out there front and center for everyone to see. Sean Payton is a mastermind. Look at what Sean Payton did traveling to Chicago, playing outdoors, which is apparently the bane of every Saints team's existence, depending on which national analyst you're talking to, and playing in semi-cold weather. It wasn't super cold. It was in the like mid-50s. That's freezing to me. I can't handle anything below 80, but that's cold to me. So they went out there and they did that. They went out there and got this win. And don't get me wrong. Look, when I say that this game, 36-25, did not look this close, look at the Saints, who dominated time of possession 37 minutes to 22 minutes. I'm leaving the seconds off there. 24 total first downs by the Saints, 16 by the Bears. The Bears' first downs only came by passing plays. They never ran for a single first down. A lot of that has to do with the fact that they only ran for 17 yards total in the game, if I may go back to that. The Saints opened this game with a blocked punt. They forced a three and out. JT Gray blocked the punt. He's probably done for a little while, unfortunately suffered an injury, what we're assuming is an ACL injury. But there's just something about what blocked punts just hit different. In New Orleans, I think that's the best way to say it. Block punts hit differently in New Orleans. The win here is a little bit spoiled by Eli Apple's injury, but we don't know yet the severity of it. The initial report comes as a hyperextended knee, which means he could be as good. He could be good enough to play next week if that's the case. But if it's bigger, if it's more serious, more severe, which I think we'll get more information on that later on today, then that could put a damper on this entire victory. But you saw him in good spirits after the game. He was out there. He was limping a little bit, but he was still enjoying himself and enjoying the win in the Saints visiting locker room of the Chicago Bears, which they called Dub Club as opposed to Club Dub. This was a petty game. You know, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out there measuring Tariq Cohen. What just an incredible game by this team that is packed with a lot of swag, packed with a lot of talent, and can win all over the place with the best coach in the NFL. And with all that, the Saints may still have some untapped potential, not to mention Drew Brees coming back from injury, but also they learned a lot about their second running back, Latavius Murray, who was signed in the offseason after missing out on Mark Ingram. Could the Saints now be looking to get Latavius Murray some extra touches alongside Alvin Kamara after his performance yesterday against Chicago? We got that coming up for you. But don't forget, too, that Peloton is offering you a limited time offer here. Get $100 off of accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout from home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. All right, guys, let's talk about sex, good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get the extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants some extra confidence to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we got them even cheaper for you because we got a special deal just for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code Locked On to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Now, we've heard a lot about the Saints over this last week or so, looking at trading for another wide receiver, potentially a pass-catching tight end. One of the names that they've been connected to is Emmanuel Sanders, who looks like he might get traded from the Broncos after all. The report came out from PFT yesterday after the Saints game saying that it looks like Emmanuel Sanders might get traded after all. So my theory is that Emmanuel Sanders saw the Saints win in Chicago and went, eh, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be here anymore. And maybe there's a better place to bring myself. services. So if the Saints were to pull off a big trade like that, that would be outstanding for this team. Depending on what happens with Eli Apple, they could see that too. But I want to focus down a little bit to some potential that they have yet to tap into, or maybe that they finally tapped into in Chicago, and that's Latavius Murray. So there's all this talk about adding some other playmakers and things like that, but they might have discovered another one in their midst already. And maybe they already knew, but they were just kind of storing him and saving him for when they needed him. And they certainly needed him this week. With Alvin Kamara being out, he's dealing with a high ankle type of injury. No one said high ankle sprain, just a high ankle type of injury, as well as a knee injury. So that's kind of compounded there to be dealing with both of those things. And so no Alvin Kamara going into Chicago. But as we said earlier, no problem. No problem at all for the Saints. That ain't no problem, as Shannon Sharp would say. Latavius Murray came into this game and absolutely ran wild all over a Chicago Bears defense that is really good, is really, really good. They were top five against the run in the NFL going into this game, but no problem at all for Latavius Murray, who gained 119 yards on 27 carries and two touchdowns on the ground, averaged 4.4 yards per carry, and he also wrangled in five catches on six targets for 31 yards as well. So you'll remember there were a lot of Saints fans that were disappointed that the Saints couldn't retain Mark Ingram, and that was a little heartbreaking. Like, that was a big part of the offseason. Max Unger retiring, Mark Ingram leaving and not signing back with the Saints and going to Baltimore instead. Those were two pretty big moments for the Saints offseason. So with that, the Saints fans sort of felt a little bit like, oh, now we're stuck with somebody that's not the culture guy that we didn't have or that we once had in Mark Ingram. He's not going to be the guy. He's not going to replace Mark Ingram. And a lot of us said from the very beginning that that's not the intent. The intent is not for him to come in and be a one-for-one replacement for Mark Ingram, that we would definitely see an uptick in Alvin Kamara's usage. But now, Latavius Murray goes in against one of the best run defenses in the NFL and runs all over them. And let's credit the offensive line too, because it looked like every time Latavius Murray touched the ball, the line of scrimmage was just reset 2 or 3 yards down the field before he even broke away from the handoff or caught the toss. He had a lot of room to work with. And so when you have an offensive line that's as reliable as the Saints, and you have a guy like Alvin Kamara, and now you throw in a guy like Latavius Murray, take advantage of the fact that this guy can be yet another playmaker for this team. And I think we're going to start to see a bit of an increased workload for Latavius Murray as we move forward. Hell, I wouldn't mind not seeing Alvin Kamara at all against a pretty static, pretty stagnant defense against Arizona, who's coming to New Orleans to play in the dome. If AK needs another 2 weeks of rest, you give him the Arizona game off, you give him the bye week, and then he and Drew Brees come back in 2 weeks in terms of playing against the Falcons at home, who are absolutely hapless right now, dropping yet another game yesterday. So look, Latavius Murray has done everything that he's needed to do to earn his spot as just getting an increased workload from the Saints. When you look at what the Saints did this week, they went out, they signed Zach Zinner, they got Dwayne Washington ready. Zach Zinner touched the ball twice. He carried the ball once, he caught the ball once. That's it. Zach Lyon touched the ball once, and then Taysom Hill had two runs for 21 yards. The rest of the rushing offense, with the exception of four carries from Teddy Bridgewater, who was scrambling around and used his legs a little bit more, we like to see that, was all Latavius Murray. Again, 27 catches, 27 of the 35 runs came through Latavius Murray. That was Latavius Murray's game, and he added five receptions on top of that. So all the questions about whether or not Latavius Murray was going to be able to replace the pass catching acumen that Mark Ingram had, he's doing it. He certainly showed it in this game, averaging 6.2 yards per catch in this game. Career-wise for Mark Ingram, he sits at 7.1, while Latavius Murray sits at 6.9 yards per catch. So they're pretty close. The only difference is touchdown outcome, really, when you look at Mark Ingram, who's got five receiving touchdowns in his career, with Latavius Murray not having any receiving touchdowns yet. And of course, Latavius Murray's been in the league for less time, came in 2014, while Mark Ingram came in 2011. So I think this year is where you really get to see Latavius Murray pull out that part of his game that we consistently talked about when he was an Oakland Raider. We saw a little bit when he was in Minnesota before Dalvin Cook crowded that backfield and before he kind of got pushed out there. I mean, just look at what Latavius Murray did against this Bears defense, and it tells you everything that you need to know, which is simply he deserves some extra time opposite Alvin Kamara. And getting those two guys out on the field at the same time, where you can line Alvin Kamara up in the slot and have Latavius Murray in the backfield. Latavius Murray has another game like this next week against Arizona. All of a sudden, defenses feel like they have to pay attention to him, Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, and Jared Cook, who's finally coming on. And then if the Saints make that trade for an Emmanuel Sanders, let's say, And then you can weed out some of those drops that we saw from Ted Ginn Jr. because you've got a guy like Emmanuel Sanders that can play that role or that can swap into that role as well as play in the slot. What are you going to do? What are you going to do as a defense when Taysom Hill's the one running past you on a fullback option? You have no choice but to key into these guys. And so the more that they can show that Latavius Murray is a volume back and show that they're going to give him the volume to where he can produce, the better that these game plans are going to function, especially when Drew Brees comes back and is able to share the ball all around the field. So some thoughts there on Latavius Murray getting some extra snaps. I love the way that he played against Chicago. Looking forward to seeing him get a little bit more attention throughout the rest of the season and what he's going to be able to provide as an additional spark plug to this offense. Next, we're going to leap over to the defense. Not so much just going to break down what they looked like against the Bears. We'll talk a little bit about that. But my main thing here is that I want to talk to you about some of the guys that I think might be in Pro Bowl contention and are Pro Bowl caliber players so far this season for the Saints on that defensive side. We got that coming up for you right here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. So this Saints defense looked absolutely incredible against what is truly, honestly, an entirely too ineffective Bears offense, especially with the names that they have there. Taylor Gabriel's a very good player. Tariq Cohen has been a very good player. Allen Robinson, who came back from his injury when he was playing with Jacksonville, he's come back and he's become an outstanding player as well. But when you look at what that offense can do and what they have the potential to do versus what their actual output is, not outstanding. Remember, they were 30th in total yards coming into this game, didn't help themselves at all in terms of the run game. Again, only 17 rushing yards, just over 230 passing yards. So just not enough, really, for this Bears offense to really move the dial in terms of where they're ranking amongst the NFL. They did put up some more points than they usually do, usually only scoring around 17. They picked up this time 25 against the Saints. But again, some of those came very late, one of which, that last touchdown, came when Eli Apple injured his knee, fell down. The receiver on the outside was wide open and available to Mitch Trubisky, who even Mitch Trubisky should have been able to make that throw, and he did. So when you look at what this Saints defense did for the first three quarters, 90 total yards allowed only, and then really you look at the entire game, this is the fourth straight game that the Saints have allowed under 260 net total yards to an offense. They've been incredible. So we know that they performed well, but let's talk about some of these guys that are starting to create a little bit of buzz for themselves that I think should warrant some Pro Bowl recognition. The Saints actually have Pro Bowlers on the defensive side of the football, and there's no question about it. I'm going to start off with the one that I feel like is the most obvious. He is well on his way so far to being exactly what I had hoped he would be so far this season, and that's Cam Jordan. I've talked about him from the beginning of the year is somebody that I think could be a defensive player of the year candidate. So far, he's starting to build that resume. 7 sacks already on the season. Remember, the most he's ever had in a season was 13. He's 7 games into the year, and he's got a sack a game so far. So he's looking really good there. He's also got 6 tackles for a loss. Doesn't have any batted passes at the line so far, which is kind of surprising. I looked at him as being the guy that might be able to repeat his same type of production that he had in 2017 when he made the Pro Bowl as well as first team All-Pro, and he was in that defensive player of the year conversation where he put together that triple-double. He had 11 passes defended, 13 sacks, and then 17 tackles for a loss. He's well on his way to putting together a double-double, and that's fine with the tackles for a loss and the sacks, but I'd love to see him get up there in terms of the pass defenses as well. But with the way that this defensive line has been getting after the quarterback, it should be absolutely no shock at all that Cam Jordan is somebody that I'm looking at moving into his third straight Pro Bowl, which would be his 5th so far in his career. Another guy that I'm looking at returning to the Pro Bowl this season, Marshon Lattimore. Again, that should be no surprise to you. He didn't get into the Pro Bowl last year. His sophomore slump really hit, but that rookie year when he won Defensive Rookie of the Year, he hit the Pro Bowl there. And this year, 2019, he's looking really good. Looks like he might be on pace to do it again. He's only got 1 interception, but again, we're only 7 games through the season and so far. 9 passes defended, 34 tackles, including a tackle for a loss. The Pro Bowl year, the year that he got nominated to the Pro Bowl, he had 5 interceptions and a touchdown. Still a lot of games left to get up to that number if he is able to. And even if he's not, the complete and utter honesty here is that it's not just about the box score for him. It's about the fact that he's been shutting out these wide receivers that he's been lining up across steadily all season. He locked up Mike Evans. He locked up Amari Cooper. He let a few yards go to Allen Robinson in this game, but still he played extremely well. These guys really on both ends, Marshon Lattimore and Eli Apple, have looked outstanding. Eli Apple, I think, is somebody that you can consider to be Pro Bowl, let me not say Pro Bowl caliber, but he's certainly somebody that is entering the conversation. His development since coming into New Orleans after what we saw from him in New York has been outstanding. I don't think he's going to be a Pro Bowl player this year, but there is one other player in the secondary that I think is worthy of a Pro Bowl nod, and it's Von Bell. Von Bell, now in his fourth and final year of his rookie contract, he has gotten better every single season. And right now he is just playing out of his mind. Four fumble recoveries already on the season, including a touchdown, two additional fumbles forced, three passes defensed. And then when you look at his tackling and what he's been able to do, he's not playing in the box as much as he used to, but he's still on pace to set his career high in tackles. Despite the fact that he's focused a little bit more now as a deep coverage safety, he is still getting downfield and making plays on the ball carrier. He's just been outstanding. No sacks so far yet this season, but I tell you, they're going to happen. And a lot of that has to do with what they've done with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and him, again, allowing him to play that deep safety role a little bit more than he has in the past. It's taken him away from the line of scrimmage. But when you look at what he's doing, despite that, despite being taken away from the line, still making plays and still has two tackles for a loss this season, as well as two quarterback hits, he is playing absolutely. He's been outstanding. And I think that he deserves a Pro Bowl nod. At least at this point, he deserves some of that consideration. He's somebody that I'm looking at to be one of those sort of sneaky, sleepy Pro Bowl selections for the Saints secondary. And then we got to shout out the guy, DeMario Davis. I mean, when you talk about effect, there's none better than the effect that DeMario Davis has had on this defense. We saw it start all the way back from last season, but when you look at his production this season as well, just as a leader on the field and what he's done, he's all over the place. 45 tackles already through seven games. He's looking at three passes defensed as well. He's played all seven of these games, started all seven of these games. He's been a leader in every single one as well for this defense. He may not be the guy that's going to leap off of the spreadsheet, at least at this point in the season when you look at his box score, but he has the name recognition, which we know is very important for the Pro Bowl. He's played for three different franchises, and he's been a very positive influence on all three of those franchises. So he has that name recognition. He's been vocal and present. We see him now doing the pregame huddles. He's out there before the games. He's got the man of God thing going for him. That's getting him a little bit of national coverage. So more people learning his names and through that are learning more about him as a human being in addition to him as a player. And I think all of that can benefit him and should get him the opportunity. He should have been a Pro Bowler last year, absolutely snubbed last year, 110 tackles, including five sacks and four passes defense, a couple of fumbles that he forced and recovered. He was outstanding last year as well. I think that this year could be the year that his name recognition helps him out a little bit more as well, and then he gets into that Pro Bowl. He'll certainly get the votes from the Who Dat Nation because we understand and we see it every single week, the effect that he's had to help bolster one of the best defenses in the NFL here in New Orleans. Look at us, sitting here on a victory Monday, the Saints traveling on the road, winning in an outdoor stadium against the Chicago Bears, one of the best defenses in the NFL without their Hall of Fame quarterback and several playmakers on the offensive side. And we can also sit here and still talk about potential Pro Bowlers on the Saints defense. Y'all, we have come a long way from three straight 7-9 seasons, and I am so grateful to be able to be here with you here on the Locked On Saints podcast every single Monday through Friday to help cover all of it. Because let me just be real, y'all. This is fun, and I hope that y'all are having fun with me. Thanks so much, everybody, for being here. We're going to wrap up today's show with that. When we come back throughout the rest of the week, we'll dive a little bit deeper into offense and defense, specifically from this Chicago game. You know how we do, pro football focus, grades coming up tomorrow, and then we have the crossover Wednesday episode with the Locked On Cards guys, and then we'll jump through, continue to get you ready for the Cardinals games. We'll also keep up to our Cardinals game. We're only playing them once, and then we'll also keep you up to date on everything going on with this trade talk that's been going on. If something's going to happen this week, you'll know about it right here with the Locked On Saints podcast. You might even get an emergency extra podcast if it is necessary. So we got that coming up for you all throughout the week. Thank you so much, everybody, as always, for coming through. Once again, I am Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson ASC. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. If you've already done it, big thank you. It's a huge help. And I thank you all for all of your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.